We're going to conclude Advent today. We've looked at the hope that Jesus gives us in our lives, the hope that the people of Israel, those that were faithful to God, were looking forward to in having the Messiah come, that they were hoping for and looking for. And we even see it later on in the Jewish world. If you ever watched the movie or the musical, it was before a movie, Fiddler on the Roof. At the very end, as they're getting pushed out of their village, one of the members of the community says, "Rabbi, we have been waiting for the Messiah for so long. Wouldn't now be a good time for him to come?" And the rabbi's answer is, "We just have to wait somewhere else now." And it's so sad because they're still waiting in hope for somebody who came 2,000 years ago. Because their Messiah came. And when he came to show us the love of Jesus Christ, the love of God through Jesus. And so when Jesus arrived, he is the embodiment of God, and God is love. If we have seen Jesus, we have seen the Father. And so he shows us God's love and how he lived, but most importantly, in his sacrifice on the cross for us. And if you've received Jesus, if you follow him, then you know what a joy it is to place your faith in him. And we experience that joy in our lives. As Pastor Brian shared last week, it might be hard sometimes because of various trials that we undergo. But we have this joy that continues with us. And what I want to look at today is the final piece that P-I-E-C-E, not the P-E-A-C-E. But the final piece of the puzzle is the peace that he gives us as believers. And what we're going to do is look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 18. And I want to read it through because it's a lot of stuff, and then we'll unpack it. We'll dig into it, you might say. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, Paul says, "Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father." So Paul's focus as he is writing to the people in Ephesus, and they're predominantly what is called a Gentile community, that is, non-Jewish. Paul and most of the New Testament writers, well, all of them that I can think of really, were writing from a Jewish perspective. Maybe not Luke. But everybody else was writing from a Jewish perspective. And so they viewed the world as Jews and not Jews. And so if you were just of the nations, you were a Gentile. And just like we have a United Nations and we look at ourselves as Americans, and then there's everybody else. They're the nations. That was what the Jewish people did. But they took it a little bit further at times, some of them, as he says there in verse 11. You were called the uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, that which is made by hands in the flesh. And what he's saying here is there were dividing words against you. This word circumcision literally means, or uncircumcision, it literally means that which covers the end. Okay, and everybody that knows what circumcision is knows what end is being covered up. And that was the way that Jewish people, some Jewish people, referred to those who were not Jewish. Oh, those were the ones that still had a piece covering them up. It's very similar to today when you might, or hopefully not today, but in our past, when somebody might make a division between them and somebody else based on a physical attribute. You know, and just think about all the things that divide us in life. What is it that divides us? You know, and to a certain extent, you do have the separation that God causes us when he calls somebody out. You know, God made the Israelites holy. To be holy is to be separate, is to be other. And so there is a certain sense where when you follow Jesus, you are separated from the people around you by your practices, your actions, your attitudes. And so there is separation. And he even says here, you were separated from Christ at one time. But separation and division are not the same thing. You can be separated, but that doesn't mean you're divided. God's purpose was never to divide the world. In fact, he you know, if you think about, say, for instance, the nation of Israel, they had priests. Priests were separated from everybody else. They were special. They were holy to God. But he also took pains to make sure that they had cities for the priests and Levites in every community in the area, that people were always going to be close to them. And you could always rub elbows with them. It wasn't like the priests couldn't eat in somebody else's house. Their purpose was to remind people of God. And the same way, the nation of Israel was holy to God, separated from the rest of the world. But they weren't supposed to be divided from the rest of the world. They were supposed to be a priesthood that attracted the rest of the nations to God. In the same way as the church today, we are set apart, God's own people, but not so that we can be divided against the world. The nation of Israel got to the point where they truly had divisions. They would not even go into the house of a Gentile. In the book of Acts, when Peter goes to see Cornelius, he tells Cornelius, you know it's unlawful for a Jew even to enter into your house, much less eat your food. Where did he get that? He didn't get that from God. That division, what causes divisions between us, doesn't come from God. It comes from us, our sin. That's why he says, notice in verse 11, the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. The Jewish people had something about them that they saw as special. The Gentile people didn't have it, and so it was something that separated them, but the Jewish people took it a step further and made it something that divided them. I can't have anything to do with a person who's not circumcised. It became an excuse not to have association and contact with somebody else. And we, unfortunately, we have many similar things in our culture, don't we? Think of all the ways that we divide ourselves at school as children. Oh, that kid has a funny voice, or that kid looks funny, or that kid eats funny food. And what do? We're as children, we're always so kind about it, aren't we? Or do we hurt them with it? I remember reading about Nikki Haley. She used to be the governor of South Carolina. Now she's our representative in the UN, in the United Nations. She's our ambassador there. When she was growing up, her parents, I want to say her folks are from Pakistan, and they were living in a small-town America situation in the 70s, and they were the only foreign-looking people. They were Americans, but they were foreigners as far as everybody else was concerned. And she would go to school with ethnic food, you might say, today. She went to school with what she normally had, and all the other kids made fun of her for it. And they wouldn't sit with her. They didn't want to associate with her because she was different. See, she was separate in the sense that, yeah, her parents came from somewhere else. But the kids, they made it a division. We're not going to have anything to do with you because of it. And her mom had to overcome that. And so her mom overcame that by preparing a meal for her entire class. And then the next day she prepared a meal for her brother's entire class. And so that kids would have to try it and eat it and find out that it was yummy. What is this? What's in it? This is something I've never tasted before. It's excellent. And she said it didn't make everything smooth, but it was the start. It started breaking down those divisions in their lives. And that's what Jesus does. We are the one that caused the divisions. We are the ones that, as the Jewish people, they would say, oh, you're the uncircumcised. We've got circumcision. But notice what he says. He says, the circumcision's made with hands. It's in the flesh. God is beyond that through Jesus Christ. Jesus has died for us, and through him, he makes reconciliation possible. And so Paul's purpose here is to tell them and to focus on them that is through Jesus that we have peace. Notice that he says, look, you guys once were separated from Christ. You were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers to the covenant of promises. You had no hope, and you were without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. There's this focus of, oh, the Jewish people were close to God, and the Gentiles were far away from him. But this is what Jesus does. He calls those who are far away, and he calls those who are near. And guess what? There were people who were near to God that were Jewish people who rejected Jesus. And there were people who were far away from God who responded to Jesus. And Paul's saying the ones that were close, it doesn't matter how close you were. It doesn't matter how circumcised you were. If you don't accept Jesus, you're out. You're separated. Not divided, but you're not in the body. It's through Jesus. He himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. See, we make in our flesh the divisions, in our sinfulness, in our looking at one another and figuring out what's different about the other person. We're the ones that make divisions. We might be separated, but that doesn't mean we have to be divided. We might be different, and we should be. I mean, honestly, there should be something different about you. If you follow Jesus Christ, you should be peculiar to the world. If as a follower of Jesus Christ, you look like everybody else in your place of business, something's not going on right. If as a follower of Jesus Christ, you participate in all the same jokes, you do the same business practices that a person who has no following of Jesus Christ would do, I would have to wonder, are you really following Jesus Christ? Because we are to be more like him than the world. And people who are of the world cannot possibly be like him. And so if we are like the people of the world, something is wrong. There should come a place where somebody says, you think differently than I do. You talk in a different way than I do. Not that we have to be, you know, thee and thou and flowery language and quote a scripture verse every other sentence. And you don't need to be a pest. But somebody should notice there's something different about you. You always tell me the truth. Even if I don't want to hear it, you're respectful about it, but you tell me the truth. You always are thinking about the people around you. You're worried about your employees in ways that other people aren't worried about their employees. Something along those lines should just bubble up out of you. We should be peculiar. We should be separate from those around us. But then, we should also go to them, interact with them, eat with them. Be in their houses. Have them in our houses. Live with them. Not by adopting their behavior, but by being peculiar and standing in that awkwardness with them. You know? Not to shun them. I have a neighbor that I spent some time talking to sometime this past year. I don't remember when, and I'm pretty sure he was either high or drunk. I'm not sure which. And it was an interesting conversation. And I don't normally associate with people who are high. I just don't. They're not in my circles. And it was so easy to say, I'm not going to have anything to do with him. because he does certain things I don't do. I don't have to join him, but I can sit in the driveway and talk to him. And he can notice that maybe there's something different about me. Maybe. And maybe if his life gets bad enough, he'll start wondering, what is it that makes me different than him? Maybe I'll have the opportunity to share a little bit more with him someday. But we don't have to divide ourselves. And that's what the Jewish people did to the Gentiles, and that's what Paul's saying we don't have to do. And unfortunately, we are very good in our culture and in our country in dividing ourselves, aren't we? We used to divide racially. We used to divide based on our gender. Now we're dividing politically in ways that I don't know that we ever used to. Well, maybe. Nobody's hitting anybody over the head with a cane in the House of Representatives or the Senate, so I guess we're not too crazy yet. So that did used to happen. But we seem to look for ways to divide ourselves. But that's not what Christ did. He breaks down the division, the dividing wall. He broke it down in his flesh on the cross. And he made peace for us. Peace first with God. That we have peace with the Father through Jesus Christ's death on the cross. We have peace with God because Jesus died on the cross for our sins and has restored us to the Father. But that's not the only peace that he gives us. He has also given us peace with one another. And that's what Paul's primarily focused on here, that he has reconciled us both to God in one body through the cross, but also that he has made in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. All the divisions that we have with humanity because of culture, because of nation state, because of color, because of background, all the things that divide us in Christ should not divide us anymore. In Christ, we are brothers and sisters. And so you have the person from the Middle East that you think, oh, they're our enemy. They're trying to kill us. They're trying to get rid of our way of life and our culture. But there are Christians there. Did you know that? There are Christians in Iraq. There are Christians in Iran. There are Christians in Syria. There are Christians in Palestine. Well, if Palestine even exists. There are Christians on the outside of Israel who are not allowed into the other countries that border Israel. There are Christians there. You got to hope they're not the ones blowing themselves up, but there are Christians there. If they are followers of Jesus Christ, that makes them our brothers and sisters, and there should be no dividing wall between us. If they're followers of Jesus Christ and they have different color skin or they look different than us, there should be no dividing wall between us and them. And it's to our shame that in our culture there has been a dividing wall in the past. And it lingers on today. And that was the dividing wall that Paul's trying to work with here, because Christ makes peace with us, in us, with one another. And so I want to just take and give you something to leave here with as we think about this. The first thing that we need to do or to make sure in our lives is the most important question is, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Whether you are near to Him, whether you were raised in the church, or whether you've never been in the church in the past, whether you had religious people in your life who tried to teach you about Jesus, or you were raised by people who had nothing to do with God, it doesn't matter. Whether you're near or far, have you responded to the cry of Jesus Christ to believe in Him and to follow Him, to change how we live based on Him? Have you received, do you know, Jesus? If you don't know Him, you can't have peace with anybody else. He is the one that breaks down the wall. He is the one that breaks down the divisions between us. So if you don't know Him, if He hasn't abolished the law for you, then you're really without hope in this world. You're without hope and without God, as verse 12 says. If you don't know Jesus Christ, Jesus came and we celebrate His coming in this season, and then in a few more months we'll celebrate Easter. And it's kind of sad that we put so much focus on the Christmas, Because without Easter, Christmas is worthless to us. Without Jesus Christ going to the cross, his life on earth would have just been a nice little thing, but it wouldn't have done us any good. Because we had a problem. We were separated from God. He is holy and we are not. And because of that, we were dead. I know we got blood flowing through our bodies, and I know we're breathing air, but if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're dead. Because life is to know God. And so we are dead without Him. We have no hope without Him. But Jesus came and He went to the cross and He died on the cross for our sins, for the things that we do, the things that we say, the things that we think that we know, and even the things we don't know, but He knows. But we know it. We do things that we shouldn't. We think things we shouldn't. We say things we shouldn't. We know we do. I don't care how powerful a person is who thinks he doesn't need any forgiveness. No, we all do. And Jesus came and He died on the cross for those things we do, to restore us to His Father. And He rose again to give us life. He's not dead still. He rose again. And our hope is that when we die, we will rise again someday, that we will know Him face to face. And so Jesus Christ is the one, through His death, has abolished all the things that have destroyed us. And the first thing we need to do is say, do we know Jesus Christ? Do we follow Him? Because that's where the separation comes from. That makes a person different than everybody else around him or her is how much we follow Jesus. The more we follow Him, the more we want to be like Him, the more we spend time with Him, the more we change. But beyond that, how do we live out this peace that He has given us in breaking down this dividing wall? The best thing I can say is that it's the same place that we get our salvation. The peace happens on the cross. He has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility. And so when you have something that divides you from somebody else, it could be they did something to you. It could be that we look different than one another. It could be that we come from different areas of the world or even of the country. There was one time, no joke, somebody in South Texas told me I was a northerner because I came from Dallas. I thought, you got no idea. I was born in Ohio. I grew up thinking that the North was the right side of the Civil War. How do you like them apples? I really just kept most of that to myself. I knew it wasn't going to go over well, and we were in church at the time. But even just a few hours' drive can be divisive. What do we do with that? How is it that, okay, Jesus died on the cross, I believe in Him, but how does He break down the divisions between us? The way I think it happens, the best way I know, is that you take it to the cross. And what does that mean? If Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and if I believe that He died on the cross for everybody's sins, then I believe that He died on the cross for everything that is wrong in the world. And so if somebody harms me, what do I have the opportunity to do? I have the opportunity to say, you know what, Jesus took care of that. I don't have to get vengeance. I don't have to hold it against them. Whether they accepted His forgiveness or not, Jesus took care of it on the cross. And so whatever divides me from somebody else, it was taken care of on the cross. And so if somebody hurts me, I disclaimer here, I'm not perfect about this, okay? I don't always do it this well. But if somebody hurts me, it's on the cross. Jesus tells us to not repay evil for evil, but vengeance is mine, says the Lord. He took out His vengeance on Jesus on the cross. If somebody doesn't accept that, they're going to have to pay for it later. And there's nothing I can do to them that's going to make it worse for them than what they're doing for themselves. And so all the divisions, all the things that a person can hurt you with, take it to the cross. If there is some disagreement you have with somebody and you don't want to have anything to do with them, let me just ask you this as members of Eagle Mountain Baptist Church. Is there another member of Eagle Mountain Baptist Church that you don't want to talk to? That you don't want to see today? That you don't want to have anything to do with because of something they have done? I want to invite you today to repent. They might have done it, but you're not going to the cross with it. And you need to take it to the cross. Whatever we are upset with one another for, Jesus died on the cross for it. Whatever somebody else has done to you, if they pushed you out of a way, or if they didn't take your suggestions, or they forgot to ask you to do something, it really doesn't matter. Jesus died on the cross for it. Whatever we are upset about today, whatever we are hurt by today by somebody else in our fellowship, Jesus died on the cross for it. How dare we hold on to it? How dare we not forgive when we have been forgiven? So I want to invite you today, I want to encourage you, if you've got something that's dividing us, take it to the cross. Leave it on the cross. Remind yourself that Jesus Christ didn't just die for you. They died for that other thoughtless person in the church. Because we're all thoughtless at one time or another. That other fallible human being, Jesus died for them too. And all they're doing is proving to you how badly they needed Jesus' sacrifice. And we prove it to one another all the time. I prove it on a daily basis that I am a wretch who needs salvation through Jesus Christ's death on the cross. And I don't need any amens over here. But I prove it on a daily basis. And you probably prove it too. And so we have issues not just with those that are our family in the church, but maybe even our family at home. Anybody dreading today and tomorrow? Anybody saying, oh, I just don't know, we're going to have to put up with some people? Yeah. Jesus died for that. Jesus died for that. Let's take it to the cross. If He is the one that gives us peace. We don't have peace through not being with people. That seems to be the easiest thing to do nowadays. I'm just not going to follow that person. I'm not just going to be friends with that person. I'm not just going to talk to that person. That's not peace. That's division. Jesus gives us peace because He breaks down the walls that divide us and He unites us in Himself. And I want you to know today that if you don't know Jesus, you will never know peace. Not the way He's giving it. You may know divisions, and you might have enough divisions that nobody bothers you. And you might think, well, it's quiet here. I've got peace and quiet. That's not peace. That's not life, I don't think, either. Jesus Christ gives us peace with His Father and with one another through His death on the cross. And Paul is saying that those who are far away and those who are near, it doesn't matter. We're all one in Jesus. And it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter where your parents came from. It doesn't matter what you do. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you're one. And we're brothers and sisters together. So I want to invite you today, as followers of Jesus Christ, if you are, if you have a division with somebody, take it to the cross today. And if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, I want to invite you today. I want to invite you to consider whether or not the claims are true, that He came, that He lived, that He died, that He rose again for you, that you should follow Him. Consider if that is true. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for today, and we thank You for the grace that you show us in our lives, that you have given us peace. We don't deserve it in ourselves. We haven't done anything to earn it, but you give us peace through your Son. Lord, we pray for each one of us here today that we would know your peace, that whatever might be between us and you, Father, maybe we've got a sin that we have not confessed, that we are nurturing and holding on to and petting. Lord, we ask that you would help us to take it to the cross. Lord, we pray that if we have disagreements with one another, hurt by one another, whether it's family or neighbors, whether it's world powers or even within the church, Lord, give us the grace to forgive one another because you have forgiven us. Help us, Lord, to take it to the cross, to not hold on to our divisions, but to be united in love through Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that the peace that we have through you would be known by many more people this week. We pray, Lord, that your peace would be known in the world. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.